I'd like to look in the book of Proverbs this morning, the first chapter. I've been much moved, I guess, by the Proverbs lately. I've been reading over and over in the Proverbs, and the burden that the Proverbs, the author had. Anyway, I'd like to start reading in verse 20. It said, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." These words strike a deep chord into my heart this morning. Wisdom, it said, it calls. She utters her voice in the streets, the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, "How long, ye simple, will ye love simplicity?" I think about God's faithfulness to every soul this morning. I can look back in my life and I recognize that God was faithful to me. He was faithful to knock on my heart's door as a young boy. He was faithful to knock on my heart's door in my teens. I remember different times. I remember one time in particular, we was at a basketball game and I was playing basketball, and our game was the next game. And I remember the Lord, through all that concourse and all that commotion, I remember the thoughts coming to my mind. Won't you live for me? Won't you put me first in your heart and in your life? And sad to say, I rejected the Lord at that time. Didn't feel like I was ready. But God was faithful. He has a way to speak to the soul of man. That's not just your thoughts. You may think these are just my thoughts, but it's a soberness. It's a thought of, I want your heart. Will you give yourself wholly to me? It's a thought of what Christ has done for us that penetrate, that give us pause and we consider. Sometimes it's maybe at night when you're laying on your bed and you're getting ready to go to sleep. The Lord will speak to you in your quietness. I remember Brother David Kramer said he got saved at a rock concert. He was in this rock concert and it was loud and everybody was in their commotion and in their excitement and their thrill. And he was looking at all that scene and he began to recognize, I shouldn't be here. This is not a place for me to be. And that voice of wisdom, will you give me your heart? Will you turn from this? Will you turn from going your own way and seeking your own pleasure and your own thoughts? And I'm thankful that Brother David did that. But it said, wisdom cries. She utters her voice. Sometimes we're going to see people in life that messed up. We're going to see people in life that have failed in their lives. Their lives are failures. They failed to serve the Lord. They failed to give their heart to God, and they failed. And you're going to be able to see them, and there's going to be a voice say, don't go the same way they went. Don't follow the same course that they followed. Don't give yourself to the same thing that they gave themselves to them. Can you see the place that they're in now? And wisdom cries. In the chief places of life, in concourse, we recognize tonight, if we could roll back the curtain and we could hear the hurting, if we could hear the cries of those that left God out of their hearts and lives, that didn't take God seriously, that didn't really build their life on the foundation, they just kind of went along. And I believe today it would affect us very deeply if we could hear the cries of children whose parents failed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we could hear the cries of the mom and dads, of those recognizing. There was a brother there that testified back in the meeting there in Oklahoma that he had gotten away from the Lord and now he was coming back, but here his children were. They were going out. And they were lost. Oh, I feel this morning what Jesus felt when he saw the people as sheep without having a shepherd. And he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, I would have gathered you. I wanted to gather you unto myself. I wanted something better for you. I wanted you to have the best. I wanted you to know me. But he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And that's what this scripture saying is. When we sin against the laws of wisdom, we pay a price. There's a cost for that looseness. There's a cost for that lack of soberness. There's a cost for that lack of diligence in serving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. There's a cost that comes. And it says wisdom will laugh. When we begin to eat the fruit of our own way, when we begin to partake, and I know God helps and God is able, He's able to bless, but I'm going to still say that we eat the fruit of the consequences of the choices and decisions that we make in life. He said, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The book of Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. And another scripture I want to say brings out in the second verse in the sixth chapter. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. I want to say the Lord is the source of wisdom. He is the source of life. You and I don't get it by our human intellect. We don't see spiritual things just with our natural eyes. God is a spirit, and we need to recognize that He is the source of wisdom, of knowledge, and understanding. Outside of Him, there is nothing. Outside of Him, everything else is false. If it doesn't come from God, if it doesn't come from His Word, if it's not supported by truth and by the Scriptures, it is of no value, and it's false, and it will lead us astray. God is our source this morning, and we need to look to Him for wisdom and for understanding and recognizing that we are needy before Him. The Scriptures make a comparison between the wise man and the fool, a foolish man. Over and over it talks about the wise, and it talks about the fool or the scorner. And he talks about the wise men, and I want to... The fool is somebody, and let me... I've been reading over these over and over, and I don't have all my verses written down, but a fool is someone that doesn't listen to counsel. A foolish person is someone that doesn't heed advice. They may hear it with the ear, and it goes out the other ear, you might say. Wisdom is a matter of the heart this morning. We don't just get it by knowledge and by understanding. It involves the heart. It involves our spirit. And we have to be in a place in our heart, in our life, to be able to receive what God has for us. The Lord is the source. He giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. But we have to be in a place within our hearts of being yieldedness. I thought about Jesus where He mentioned, He said, "You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but You've revealed them unto babes." Those that were pliable, those that were hungry, those that had a desire to know, God is able to teach and God is able to reveal His truth and His way. I was thinking and pondering this, but a fool, he doesn't listen. He doesn't take heed to instruction. He despises, the Scripture said He despises reproof. He doesn't want to hear what people tell him. He doesn't want to hear what his parents say to him. He doesn't want to hear what elders have to say to them. They despise reproof. That's a fool. The Scripture calls that foolish. But the wise, it says the wise, they hearken to counsel. They listen. They respond. They take in. They recognize the value of what they're saying. And they submit themselves and they obey. But it says the fool disregards. He rides over. Many people are foolish today, living foolishly, living carelessly, without regard to holy things. Living life. This one trip through. One opportunity through. Living it without regard to the Scriptures. Without God, regard to God. Without giving God a pliable and a yielded heart and a spirit. You know, the Scripture talks about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. People get hardened. They get calloused to truth. They get calloused to what is really right and true. And it's like they don't really sense. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. It's because their heart has been hardened. They've resisted that voice of wisdom. They've turned it aside. They've turned a deaf ear many times. And each time we turn God down, you know, the heart grows a little bit harder. Each time that we say, "Not now." Each time that we say, "Later on." Each time that we say, "Tomorrow." Our heart grows a little more calloused, a little more harder. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said they have ears to hear and eyes to see, but they don't see and they don't hear. It's because their heart was thickened. It was calloused. They turned down the voice of the voice of wisdom. And it hardens us to the truth. And it hardens us to gospel. And we see so many people today that don't comprehend. They don't understand. They don't see the value. That are living so carelessly. They're living close to the spiritual dangers. And they don't recognize that it's going to cost what the cost is. Wisdom will teach us these things. If we allow the Lord to, and we'll seek God. The second thing, or another thing I want us to get a hold of, wisdom is something we have to seek after. It doesn't just drop in our laps. He mentions that in verse 2. My son, chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. See, here's the heart again. Wisdom involves the heart. And the Lord asks us, where's our heart? Where is your heart? Are you really, is your heart in really serving me? Or are you just kind of going along with the crowd? Are you just kind of going along with the group? Where's your heart at? Is it really in digging? Is it really in really comprehending? Is it really reaching out and desiring to know what the will of God is for our life? Or are we just complacent? Just content? He said, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Oh, don't we need it today? Don't we need it? Satan is there. There are spirits in the world there that are waiting to devour. That's what Jesus saw when he wept over Jerusalem. You know, sheep that don't have a shepherd, they're defenseless. They don't know. Sheep without a shepherd are left to a prey. They're left for wolves and cougars and lions to come in and to devour and to ravage because sheep don't have a defense. They're not strong within themselves. They don't have any. They're sheep like you and I this morning. You know, we don't have any defense within ourselves against the powers of darkness without the wisdom and understanding of God working in our hearts, working in our lives. We don't have it. I don't have it. I've been saved for a little while, but I still don't have it within myself. The songwriter said, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray. You know, if God would just pull back His Spirit for me, you know, I would veer off and I would fall short and I would go away and I would stray. That's the nature of sheep. We need the shepherd. We need His protection. We need His Spirit to speak to us, to let us know there's danger. We need the shepherd to caution us in our spirit to help us to recognize there's something out here right in front of you that's very dangerous. You better watch this. You better be careful in your steps here. You better watch the decisions that you're making right here. We need a shepherd. We need the shepherd to shine the red lights and the yellow lights and the signals. Oh, without it, folks, you and I just we're as an ox that goes to the slaughter, the Scripture says. Or as a sheep is dumb before her shears. That's the way we are as people. We need a shepherd this morning to be able to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The Lord has it for us today, but we have to be in a place where we're seeking Him. The thing that came to my mind this week in looking this over and pondering it is that wise men, they're guided by understanding. They're guided by love. They're guided by truth. They're guided by the commandments of God. They're guided by those things that are they're true, that are right. A foolish man is guided just by his passion. He's guided just by his own thoughts and his own feelings. That's a foolish man. He's building in a place. He's building his life on the sinking sand. He's building by his own thoughts. And there's a scripture that came to me in this reading this. It talked about the fool that said he is right in his own eyes. His thoughts he thinks are right. But he's building on the sand. If it's outside of what God is and it's outside of Scripture, if it's outside of His Spirit, it's building on the sand. And you know what? The floods come, don't they? And the storms beat. And houses fall. And Jesus said, how great was the fall. It's a sad thing when marriages fail. It's a sad thing when people turn aside and backslide. It's a sad thing when people err and go away from what is right and what is true. Great was the fall of that house. It affects not just us. It affects our children. It affects our grandchildren. It influences all those that know us. Lord, help us today to recognize the importance of wisdom and allowing the Lord to guide and direct our hearts and our lives. The scripture in the there in Luke, it talked about the rich man that died and Lazarus, the beggar that died. And it said, the scripture said about him, he said, thou fool, he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose are these things going to be? It's foolish to live our lives without serious regard to spiritual things. It's foolish to do that. Because we're going to come, every one of us, are going to come to the place where we're going to meet the end of life. And it does us well to seriously consider, where am I at in this journey? Lord, how am I doing? Am I offering you a pliable heart? Are you teaching me the things that you want me to learn and get a hold of and know? Because we're going to meet that time when you and I are going to leave, or the Lord's going to come back, one of the two. We're going to meet the end. And it's foolish to go just on with the tide and with the currents of this world. You know, many people live today with just the idea that kind of in the back of their mind that they're not that bad of a person. They might have a few bad things, a few bad sins, but in general they've got a lot of good things that they point to in life and say, I'm not that bad. I can do this and I've done this. And I hear people all the time, many times, tell me about all the good things they do. Had it happen just not too long ago, telling me all the good things they did. But you know what's in the back of my mind? What about the blood of Jesus? Have you yielded and given your life to God? That's the only thing that's really going to matter. Our good works will not outweigh sin. There is something about human nature. We try to cover up and hide sin. We try to hide it. People try to hide it. They hide wrong. But the Lord sees. The Lord recognizes it. And it only takes one. Is this not true this morning? It only takes one sin harbored in the heart, cherished in the heart. Just one sin can cause me to miss heaven, my home. I believe that's what the Scriptures teach. It's not that the Lord's just going to look at our life and say, boy, you did a good job. You got all this good here, but this here, you got this small sin here that's kind of, come on in. You've got all this other good. That's not going to happen. One sin. I believe the Scripture in James, it talks about, it said if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. This is a close life. We need God to search our hearts, because as humans, we tend to justify ourselves. We justify things. We say, oh, this is not bad. Unforgiveness or different things, rebellion against God, those things that sometimes we don't even see them as people, unless God helps us to recognize this is you, you're guilty. We are very dependent this morning upon the Holy Spirit helping us to make heaven. I was 18 years old. I was stepping over the threshold from childhood into young adulthood. And I had a dream that I was lost and undone before God. And I thank the Lord for that dream to this day. Yeah, it didn't feel very good. It wasn't very comforting. But it helped me to see the road that I was traveling. It helped me to see the condition. And in my dream, I was working in a cemetery there in Enid. It's on the north end of Enid, Memorial Park Cemetery. I used to work there as a teenager during the summer months. And in my dream, I was in there. I can show you the place today where I was at in my dream. The Garden of Gethsemane. My little orange Kubota tractor was pulled up right there behind me. And I was sweating, hoeing, a hot summer day, hoeing in a flower bed. And all of a sudden, the earth began to tremble. And the clouds began to roll very quickly, like with a time-lapse camera. They just began to roll. And the earth began to tremble. And you know what I did in my dream? In my dream, I just dropped to my knees and fell to my knees, and I began to cry. And I began to plead God for mercy. But I knew I had waited too long. I knew in my mind I had gone too far. I knew that Christ was coming back. He's going to leave His mediatorial throne, where He's a mediator between God. He's going to leave that throne. And when He leaves that throne, He steps off of that place. He's coming back to be our judge. There's not going to be any more prayers answered. There's not going to be any more time to get right with God. When that time comes, that's it. And in the back of my mind, I knew that. It was like instinct. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I knew that. I knew I'd waited too long. And I began in my knees. That was the only thing that I could do, was to cry and plead for mercy. But in the back of my mind, I knew there was no mercy. Folks, that doesn't taste very good. To be lost. The Swan Song talks about being lost in the night. being separated from God. I can't take that in. It's hard for my human mind to be able to take in a separation from God. All that's good, all that's lovely, all that's pure, to be lost with the devil and his angels. It's hard for my mind, and the only way I can do it is because this is what the Scripture teaches us. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a severance come. There's going to be a time come when he talked about he sent his angels and they would separate the good from the bad. They would sever the just from among the unjust. There's going to be a great separation. And at that time, it's going to be too late. You know, I woke up from my dream. When I woke up, I was going out of my bedroom. And I went back into my bedroom and I pulled back the curtain. And I sat there and looked, and finally it began to dawn on me that I'd had a dream. And I tell you what, I knelt down by my bed and I began to cry out to God to have mercy on my soul. I thank the Lord for that. I thank Him for the knowledge that He broke me up to help me recognize I was on the wrong way, the wrong road. There is coming a time when Jesus is coming back. I don't know what people have in their minds. Maybe some of them think about the thief on the cross. Well, just before I'll die, I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. Why stake your soul on something like that? Dangerous to live that way. Yet people live week after week, month after month, year after year, without serious contemplation about where they're going to spend eternity, how they're going to live their lives. You know, I look at life as like a tree that grows up. There's a scripture that says, where a tree falleth, there shall it lie. You know, the decisions and the courses that we take in life is like putting on branches and growing as a tree. But the things that I lean towards, that I gravitate to. We've got a tree over here by our house. This thing looks like this. It's slanted like this. That's the way it grew. You know, when that thing dies, you know where it's going to fall? It's going to fall right the way that it grew. You know, in life, that's the way it's going to be with people, us as people. My life is going to end, basically, how I've lived. It's going to fall in that direction. I wouldn't stake it on what we call a deathbed experience. I know. I believe there's people that get saved and on their last. I believe there's people that get saved at the last. I believe people cry out to God for mercy and get saved. But I wouldn't trust in that. We don't know the opportunities that thief may have had or hadn't had. Yes, God is a merciful God. But oh, the depths of Satan, the power of Satan, the spirits that prey upon people today that don't have a shepherd. Scripture in the book of John, the 5th chapter and the 28th verse. He said, marvel not at this, the hour is coming and now is. Well, let's see, 5 and 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I didn't write this. I don't understand the depths, but I know God paid a high price for our salvation. I know that He gave heaven's best for you and I to be saved. And I know that His grace is sufficient to carry us through and to help us to fight a good fight and to run a good race. I believe that. Lord, help us today to be careful. Help us to be watchful. Help us to dig in our spirit for wisdom and seek God and ask God for wisdom. Let's apply our hearts to it. Lord, help me to conduct my life. So when my time comes, Jesus in one place, he said, "Watch and pray, for you know not the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." We don't know when we're leaving this world. We really don't. People leave every day. Young, old, there's no guarantee. You know, it's wise to be ready. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That is true wisdom from God, is to live in a place that I'm prepared, that I'm watchful, that I'm guard, that I'm not seeing how close that I can get to temptation or to the world, but I'm keeping myself in a good, close place, and I know the Lord. I can't trust in the salvation that I had years ago when I was 18. I can't trust in that for today. I can't just hang my hat and say, "Well, I was saved back in 1983. And expect, "Well, I'm going to go in." I can't hang on that. I've got to have something on hand today. I've got to be walking with the Lord now. I have to have His Spirit enlightening my pathway now. His blessing. I need Him teaching me now. And I believe the Lord can help us if we'll lean upon Him and trust in Him. And I remember also a message that Brother Sammons preached years ago, and he said, more people will be lost through neglect more than probably anything else in life. Neglect. That's pretty sad, isn't it? In other words, I had the knowledge. I had the understanding. I knew what was expected. I knew what was required. And I just neglected. I put it off. I took spiritual things too lightly. Let's be encouraged and challenged today to seek after wisdom. You know those scriptures in the 8th chapter, it talks about wisdom. It says, before the earth was, before the Lord had created, wisdom said, "I was there with Him." You know, wisdom is eternal. It's not just temporary for this life. It's eternal. It's eternity. It's part of God. And we can build with wisdom. The Lord has wisdom for all of us if we'll seek after it and we'll cry after it with all of our hearts. He'll give us wisdom. But remember, we got to seek after it, and it's a heart. It involves where our affections are at. Lord, help us today and encourage us. Let's be faithful to God. Let's be careful. Be watchful. Be sober. Be vigilant. And I believe the Lord will help us to be able to make our calling and election sure. And we won't have to be like the man that was there at the wedding, but he didn't have on a wedding garment. And the Lord said, "Friend, how'd you come in hither without a wedding garment?" You know what that represents to me? He was in his own righteousness. He was in his own agenda. He was living for God on his terms. That's what it means. I believe that. He didn't have the Lord's robe on. He didn't have the wedding garment because he didn't yield. He didn't apply himself to get that wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, doing it on his own terms. We'll never get to heaven on our own terms. It'll never work. We'll come short somewhere." Amen. Pray for me.